This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're pleased to welcome Daryl Ryder, who covers the Browns, was at the game covering it for 92.3, The Fan, our Cleveland affiliate. We've been talking about how badly the Browns played in that season opener in Baltimore. But, Daryl, they come back, they get a victory just a few days later. So, in your opinion, what was the biggest difference between Sunday and tonight?
Execution, plain and simple. The Browns executed tonight. And the other thing, too, is when you get 200 yards from your two running backs combined, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, that makes Baker Mayfield's life a lot easier. And, it, you know, especially in the first half, they were extremely well balanced. 14 runs, 14 passes. You can't get any more balanced than that. And the fact that they were able to end drives with touchdowns and not field goals, add it all up and you get a big W.
Really impressive to see the last scoring drive that they had, in which they were six run plays in a row and didn't even bother to throw the football. But what we saw from Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt feels like a recipe for success.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, and it's not just the volume of yards, it's the yards per carry. You know, Chubb averaged 5.6 and Kareem Hunt 8.6. Both running backs combined four touchdowns, two apiece. Chubb two on the ground, Hunt caught one, ran for another. It was funny as I'm watching that second half unfold, and it was right before Baker threw the interception, they started to run it right down the Bengals' throat again. And I said, Baker shouldn't throw it the rest of the night. And then he throws the interception. And I'm like, okay, somebody gets fired for that. And then the next drive, they come right back. And, you know, as you mentioned, six plays right down the field, all runs. You know, it was almost as if Nick Chubb set it up and Kareem Hunt finished it off. But that is exactly what we expected from this offense. What we saw in that win over the Bengals, that's how it was drawn up. Baker Mayfield making throws on the run, play action, you know, Chubb and Hunt, 1-2 punch, explosive play with Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, you could not have drawn it up any more perfect than what we saw Thursday night.
After the season opening loss, Baker Mayfield said it was good to get a wake-up call, a little bit of a gut punch. So what did he and Kevin Stefanski have to say about the offense and the win tonight?
Well, Baker said after the game that, for sure, it is absolutely a confidence booster for them. Kevin Stefanski, being the calm, cool, collected coach that he is, he said, hey, we're not riding the wave. You know, one game at a time. You know, we're not getting low when we lose, and we certainly aren't going to get too high when we win. But considering how bad it was in Baltimore, and it was bad, to come back four days later and put up 35 points. I know it's against the Bengals, but it's still a divisional opponent. You know, Joe Burrow's the number one pick in the draft, the hot name everyone wants to talk about. And to come back and get your collective stuff together and put together a win, I think it speaks volumes for this football team.
No excitement for Kevin Stefanski on his first victory as an NFL head coach?
Yeah, he is as flatline as they come, really. I mean it, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. You know, he doesn't like to say a lot. He's got a very calm demeanor about him. Like, he presents that perfect image. You know what I mean? He everything he says, The way he communicates it, it's just all very professionally spoken. So I think we got a smile from him during the post-game Zoom video conference, but that is, I think, as good as it's going to get with him. And you know what? Hey, a lot of successful coaches, seem to have that type of a personality. So if it works for him, it works for the Browns, and it certainly worked Thursday night.
Daryl Ryder from Cleveland and our affiliate, 92.3 The Fan, after covering Bengals and Browns on Thursday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What did it sound like with 6,000 fans in the stands, Daryl?
Well, how do I say this nicely? Because Myles Garrett joked about it. He said it looked like my rookie year. Basically, what the stadium looked like was a normal fourth quarter of a Browns game in December. I think that's the right way to describe the size of the crowd.
Ouch.
Now that's not the Browns' fault. They were only allowed per the local regulations to have those 6,000. But I mean, they made noise. Baker Mayfield mentioned that you could hear the crowd. Miles mentioned it as well, that it helped having people there, because remember, they were in Baltimore and the stands were empty at M&T Bank Stadium. Local authorities did not allow the Ravens to have any fans. So the Browns, when they have the Washington football team here at the end of the month for their next game, there will be another 6,000 fans in the stands. And then the governor of the state of Ohio, the city of Cleveland, local health officials will get together with the Browns and see if they can increase that number. The hope is they will be able to do that, but it was just nice to see a football game, see the Browns win, and also see people in the stands. It's a small taste of normalcy in what has been a difficult, strange year for just everybody across the country.
Daryl Ryder with us from Cleveland following the Browns' victory against the Bengals. A lot of excitement around Joe Burrow. And as much as a win is a win is a win is a win, the Cleveland defense gave up 30 first downs. The Bengals had a couple of really long drives, especially in the second half. They're able to generate some more offense when Cleveland thought the game was in the books. Did give up 61 pass attempts, though obviously not all completions for Burrow. And so there's a lot of offense that was generated here. How would you evaluate the D for Cleveland?
Well, let's see. They were down to their third string defensive end. They don't have their starting safety that they drafted. They're missing two cornerbacks, two starting linebackers. I think Joe Woods now is running the hot knife through butter defense this year. It's just the way it's going to be. The offense is going to have to carry this football team. It's going to be very difficult for this defense to pitch shutouts or to pitch low scoring games. What I liked defensively from the Browns, in spite of the volume of yards, as you mentioned, the first downs and the fact that Joe Burrow had to throw it, let me check, 61 times. Yes, Joe Burrow threw it 61 times. Can I get that kid an ice pack for that shoulder? Completed 37 of those, though, so good for him, 316 yards. But to see Myles Garrett come up with that big strip sack, I think that was a game-changing play, because the Bengals had just gotten a little momentum with that goal line stand, getting the stop from the Browns. But then Garrett comes right back to get the football back, and then the Browns are able to just punch it in right after that and increase their lead. I thought that was a big, big sequence there midway through the third quarter that altered the outcome of the game. But yeah, the Browns defense, it is a work in progress. They are filled with injuries. They are missing a lot of bodies. It's very difficult to criticize that side of the ball, considering the volume of starters that they are missing. If you talk the nickel package, they're missing five starters right now on the defensive side of the ball. So you knew going into the season that there were some things that they were going to have to fight through. And obviously, week one in Baltimore and what you saw tonight, the Browns are going to have to, overcome what is going to be an incomplete defensive unit this season.
What was the reaction from the team to Joe Burrow and seeing this uber rookie for the first time?
Yeah, Baker, very complimentary of him. Kevin Stefanski, glowing reviews, they're giving him the respect that he deserves, but they're also realizing, great, now we have to deal with this guy twice a year. We already have Ben Roethlisberger on the schedule, and we got Lamar Jackson twice a year, and now we have Joe Burrow to deal with. Great.
It's just going to be one of those deals in the AFC North. There's nothing easy, no easy out. Daryl Ryder with us from Cleveland. He is part of our affiliate there, 92.3 The Fan, and covers the Browns. And I got to ask, locally, what was the response and what was the reaction to what happened in Baltimore, considering that this is supposed to be a new era with the Browns?
Well, if they lost tonight, had they lost Thursday night, the world would have come to an end, and I think every bridge in town might have been packed.
Oh,
it was not pretty. I mean, you know, fans were frustrated and upset. It wasn't that they lost. It was just how they lost. The fact that they just absolutely had their lunch handed to them, and it just was not a competitive football game. And, you know, the Browns fans have seen this movie for, you know, 25 years plus here. They're now 120-1 in openers, but hey, in week twos, they now improved to 10-12 since 1999.
Wow.
You know what we call that? We call that progress, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm anticipating the mood on Friday is going to be a lot happier around town, and some of the nervousness that started to pop up in regards to, you know, is Baker Mayfield the guy? Is he going to be okay getting through three offensive changes in as many years, three head coaches, three coordinators, all, you know, just the constant chaos that has surrounded this this franchise? Maybe a win like this can kind of stabilize things for them and give them the confidence, as Baker alluded to move forward and now really settle in to what Kevin Stefanski aims to do with this football team. We'll see. But the mood amongst the fans, yeah, they're going to wake up very happy.
Will this assuage the concerns and stifle the questions about OBJ and Baker together as a tandem?
I hope so, because I think a lot got made of that during this week, and I think a lot of it's unnecessary. But to see Beckham come right back and he catches the 43-yard touchdown, which I wasn't sure if they were going to give it to him the way the night was going and the way things always go with the Browns, I was waiting for him to take it off the board and put the ball at the 1-yard line and the Browns to go 4 and out from there. So it was great to see. He get that touchdown and they get him, you know, some touches. He had 4 catches for 74 yards and that touchdown. I think that'll, you know, quiet that stuff down. And again, when you're talking about yet another new offensive system, the second in as many years for Beckham, third in as many years for Baker Mayfield, there's going to be growing pains. And throughout training camp, this offense did not look good, the practices that I observed. I kind of had a feeling it was not going to be smooth sailing coming out of the gate. And I tried to warn fans locally that that was going to be the case. And unfortunately, in that regard, I was right. Don't want to take a victory lap on that. But, you have to understand when there's that much change and you're bringing in a new coach and
right. You
don't have that off-season program where you're on the field. I mean, Amy, they were doing offensive installs 2 weeks before the season opener, okay? That's not a criticism. That's just the reality of what they had to deal with. So to see them come back tonight, put 35 points up on the board, have the explosive plays both in the pass game as well as the run game. Baker Mayfield, much more accurate than he was in Baltimore. Obviously, level of competition affects that. But I just think that they can go in now to this 10-day layoff before they welcome Washington to town, feeling good about what they wanted to accomplish, and they can hopefully build off this thing.
Fans freaking out and overreacting makes me happy in some strange and twisted way. You can find Daryl on Twitter at RiderWrong, FANRUITER, and you can hear him on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland talking about the Browns now at 1-1 in this young season. Daryl, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
You got it. Anytime you need fans to freak out, just come to Cleveland. We're here for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.